the guys know what order they're in. I purposely didn't tell them so I could kind of catch them off guard and get you a fresh reaction. But first, he's going to kill me for this because this particular guy was our attention to details guy. And he actually texted me this morning. Come on up, Jeremy. He actually texted me this morning and said, can I go last? Because I need to. And I said, nope, you're on the list. And guess what? Now you're going first. But Jeremy's going to go first. And I told him, it's funny. I don't know what this is with guys. I told them all, send me two or three pictures, and you got 5 minutes. All of them. Every single one of them sent me 5, 6, 7, 8 pictures and a couple videos. So we've had to cull it down to just a few. But Jeremy actually did a cool thing, and I think as he talks, he's going to have a video playing. So here you go, Jeremy. Mm-hmm. I'm not going far. I also warned him I have a mute button, so if they don't shut up, we can just mute them, and then they'll get the idea. You're up, buddy.
Okay. Muy bien. Estoy hablando español? You had it stuck on Spanish, didn't you? All right. Well, good morning. I've been told to keep it 5 minutes, and I was, yes, surprised that I was the first one to go. I tried to get him to let me go last because I'm generally long-winded, as most of y'all may know, or not most of you, but at least the ones that are closest to me. So I try to keep it as short possible. He asked me to get a couple pictures and some videos, and instead of just individual pictures and videos, I gave him a video of pictures and videos. So, and it's about a little over 2 minutes long, but it's basically a lot of things that, or some of the things that we had to deal with there. So I'll keep it as short as possible. So we'll start right here in chapter one. Just kidding. It's just for just looks. So I get there, and he talks a lot about impacts as far as how do we feel, what we get hit with when we first get there. And one of the things that got me as soon as we got up to the care point was that the conditions that they live in. And I'm kind of got a builder mindset. I'm a fixer. I'm a problem solver. I like to fix things. So, and my man Chris over there is too, so. He's really more into the technical stuff like angles and such, and I'm just like putting boards together and hammer it and let's go. So I get up there and I see the care point as you see in the background here, and I'm wanting to buy a Home Depot franchise and have it there so we can have the supplies ready to go when we want to build something. And I was just, I was blown away by the conditions that they're living in, and it's Chris, wow, I forgot your name just that quick. Clint took us to the behind the care, took me and Chris behind the care point, and he kind of just pulled us aside and told us, because he saw the look in our eyes, we were immediately in this, I want to fix these kids' lives right now. So he told us, we know it's going to be crazy for you, and we know what you want to do, and it's going to take time. And so he had to kind of sell us down to figure out what we're doing, but that was just one of the things, and one of the other bigger things was just the way these kids are. They're so happy. You know, I think about the kids in our own country, and I'm like, these kids, they're not happy, and they have everything. They have toys, electronics, they have all that stuff. All these kids, they have a soccer ball, and they're going around and kicking around, and it's like, it's just heaven to them. So I was very excited to see that these kids are as happy as they are. And it made me feel sad for my own country because of the kids that we have no idea what it's like to have nothing and believe in something so big, to have God touch these kids' lives with absolutely nothing. It doesn't take much at all. And I was very happy to see that. And some of the stories that we heard, I'm sure there's some more intense stories you'll hear from the other guys, because ours, or the trip we took to the family houses were a little less intense when we talked to them as the other guys. So I'll let you guys listen to that. But if you look in the background, the videos here, these kids are just throwing the ball. We built a basketball goal, and they're just throwing the soccer ball because we didn't have a basketball at the time. And every single one of them just had a huge smile on their face every time they threw the ball. Didn't matter they made it, didn't make it, whatever. But just they're so very happy, and it made me happy. And I felt like I couldn't be there long enough. I would love to have stayed there another week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, whatever it took to get things done. I do feel like God gave me a couple of purposes as far as this trip goes. One of them is one that kind of hits me personally. I know you guys, mostly you know my two kids, Candy and Brody, but in the recent times, I've actually kind of had a craving for another kid, and it's not something that Allie's on board with too much. But and one of those things is this young lady right here, Amy, she's actually the child that we decided to sponsor. Amy, she was very nice. She's very shy. Johanna, which was the other girl that was just in the picture, she was actually pushing her to come up to and talk to me. And I thought that was cute that she was so shy about it. And so after playing with her and talking with her a little bit, and when she posed for that one picture right there, that's the one I love right there, she actually reminded me of my own daughter. Because my Candy, she poses that way all the time. So when I saw that, it was like, sold. I'm done. That's her. And that in a way, that kind of fulfills my need for a third child, in a way. It helps me. It gives me something to do for another child. Even though I can't have it in my own home like I'd like, it gives me a chance to help another little girl in her life as she grows up, be there for her. Send her letters, send her gifts, whatnot. So, okay, I'm gonna try to. I think I'm over time anyway. But I want to thank you guys for letting me come speak to you. I want to thank Pastor Clint for giving me an opportunity to go up there. And that's another thing that I think God put me in this situation so that I could be there and find this young lady, so that we could have a little bit of a relationship. So, and also. I did one other thing that was a first for me. I got to sleep four nights in a row with a man I never met before. Oh, Brett and me got some stories. So without further ado, I'll let the rest of the guys come up, and thank you very much. And I really enjoyed the trip. Can't wait for the next one.
Hope I wasn't too long. No, that was perfect. Yeah, we won't that is one thing about the guys' trips. We don't talk about the sleeping arrangements, because it was funny, because these guys sleeping in two different beds, and you would think they were forced to sleep in a single, and but they do develop relationships, and it's good. It's really fun to watch those relationships develop, even over five short days. All right, next is Mr. Bucky Laracy. This was also his first time to Honduras.
How are y'all? This is weird being on this side of the screen. So that's pretty cool. I've only got four pictures. The first picture is a church. Unlike this church, that church has only 2 8-foot fluorescent light bulbs and plastic chairs. They can outdo us with all this, hands down. And I'm sure the guys can feel it when they were there. If anywhere God was, he was there in that church. That was cool. Now, if you don't know my name, I'm Bucky. I worked the audiovisual along with Monica back there. Hey, Monica. Married to Melissa. Next week is our 26th anniversary. Happy anniversary. Early anniversary. Got two kids, Kara and Colby. Y'all probably know them. But she's the reason I came to this church to begin with. How many years ago? 13, 15 years, who knows? But get back to the story. The church we were in, really small, really, 30 by 15, 30 by 20, 40 by 20, something like small. They had instruments, but didn't have to do it because their voice would just show everything they know, which is their faith. Pretty much that's all they had was their faith. Skip to the next picture. Because these kids here, that's all they know is love. You want to feel love? Go there. Those kids are grateful. You put a 2-cent toy, little tortillas in front of them with a thing of Kool-Aid. Not one kid said, I don't like that. I don't want to eat that. They said, gracias. That was it. They brought back an empty plate. That's what hit me. All the kids, not just one, just all of them. And the adults, too. Anything you give them, you could give them this cup, and they would say, gracias. That was a gift, you know. Let's get to the next one. The reason being up here is, you see those rocks? We had a El Jefe. Is that the right way to say it? El Jefe? Cool, got it right. I call him El Capitan. He was the boss man. Ain't it right, Larry? He was the boss man. He would take each little rock and put it in a certain place on that wall, which held the church. Foundation back on the church, which held their faith. That's the way I looked at it. And I was one of those rocks. We put a rock there. Some guys put a block. But he put it where he wanted it, to hold up the church. That's the way I looked at it. And we all here are rocks, as far as I look at it. My little place is back there. Clint's is up here. Somebody's moving a door. My wife's next door to kids. Everybody's got a place. So let's get to the next one. And on that one little rock, you can build that, which holds everything up. That's what I'm grateful for. You can see the gratefulness in their eyes of what they have and what they hold treasure is your church, their faith, and their family. And when they go to eat every day, just like I come here, it's a family reunion every week for me. And that's what they do every day. I thought that was pretty cool. Mine's pretty short.
Aiden, thank you. I don't know if anybody else chose a picture of the finished wall, but the finished wall was actually about twice that high. What he dug out there, the rocks, there were two men in their 60s and 70s that dug a whole thing out by themselves in one day. So we were rather humbled by their work ethic, and it was very impressive. So let's see, we have up next Mr. John Bolton. This was his fourth trip, by the way. So he should be an expert at this by now.
I don't know about the expert part, but God has blessed me to be able to go to Honduras four times. And for me, what really stands out is, and we've heard this word a couple times this morning, relationships. We get to meet people down there in Honduras, and we develop a relationship with them. What was really cool, too, was to be able to see some of the children that we've seen on the previous trips and how much they've grown since the first trip that we went June of last year, 2017. And that they know that they remember you, too, when you come down there. But the funny thing about what really stands out to me each and every time is when we go down, we always have a project, something that we're doing. Remember last year it was Jimmy and Chris wiring up the lights and Ken mixing up concrete. Ken was mixing up concrete, patching walls, and Larry was being Larry. And or Loco Lorenzo, as he's known in Honduras. But what really gets me every time is we go down there and we're so focused on whatever this project is that we're going to do. And as guys, we want to go in there and get it done, right? We want to jump in there, knock it out. But then you have a 7 or 8-year-old little boy that just runs up to you out of nowhere and grabs you by the hand. Or you have a little girl that comes up and gives you a hug. It's amazing to me how much that drive to do that, whatever that project is, it kind of takes a back seat, right? And that's something that Pastor Daniel said this time, too, was whether we finish the wall that we were building down there this time or not, it doesn't really matter. The wall will get finished. And El Capitan, he was more than able to do that wall by himself, I'm sure. He was just putting up with us gringos. It was holding him up a little bit, or quite a lot, actually. But I'm sorry.
You have to stay in the middle for all the rest of you, because now all the people who are watching online, I apologize, because they can't see us. There you go. Thank you.
A heads up would have been nice. but But even there too, with the guys that had dug all that rock out of the ground. By the way, it only took two of them a day to do that. But we developed a relationship with them. But Pastor Daniel had said, it didn't matter whether we finished the wall or if it got finished later on. What was important was the relationships that are being built. And so we didn't only make a connection with the children like Jeremy did with Amy. We made a connection with each other. And something else Pastor Daniel said that really stuck with me this trip too is the seed will be planted in Honduras, but we'll reap the harvest in Sylvania. And he has said before too that he's excited to see what happens in Sylvania. And it really clicks because what I was thinking about during this trip was we go down there and we make this connection with these children and we're always thinking about the next time we want to go back. But the whole time, we're making ourselves better for it. Isn't it funny how God will sneak up on you like that and plant that in you and you don't even know it. It's like, wow. It's like Clint says all the time, it's that aha moment that we get. So I'm very blessed for that. That's a picture of the little girl that my wife and I sponsor, Allison. She's a little sweetheart. She has, I think, two sisters and a brother. We did get to meet her brother this time. That's a little boy named Christopher that my son Christopher and Madeline sponsor him. I don't know that he said a whole word. He just walked around smiling the entire time. So we know he's happy. This little boy right here, his name is Christopher Josue Morales. He takes my heart every time. I met him last time. He tried to get me to give him my watch. But he just hung tight with me. We went to the care point in Sotaguara, and some of the little girls there asked him if I was his sponsor. And he told them, yeah. And Didier, who is one of the helpers there at Sotaguara, said, no, he's not your sponsor. And it embarrassed him. It made him upset. So I took about 15, 20 minutes trying to console him to get him to come back around. But he's an awesome little dude. He's a little fireball. I absolutely love him. That's why I wanted to put that picture in there. And I think there was one more, that one there. So, of course, this is after the we had started to build a wall and stuff like that, and then the boys come up and grab your hand. So you see Brett there. Brett's right in the middle of them, and that's where the relationship part of it starts, which is the most important part of it. That wall will be there forever, but so will that relationship. And that relationship will just keep on and on. And that's the hope of it, that we start with this generation and they give it to their generation. And that, too, will live on for eternity, probably long after that wall has collapsed into the road. Okay? So thank y'all.
Amen. Thank you. All right, next up was one we thought he was going to try to weasel out. Mr. Chris Hudson, he's been on a project in Brunswick working, and we went back and forth and back and forth whether he was going to get to go or not, and he told us when we got there, it's amazing how God just worked it out and all the timing and his job worked out, and I think it worked out pretty good, don't you?
I think it did.
So, all right, go ahead.
So just bear with me. This came upon last night or yesterday, so I'm not going to really talk much. This whole trip just impacted my whole life, start to finish. You've heard a lot of these guys talking about relationships, the seeds planting, all this stuff. The seeds that were planted over here, I reap the benefits right out the gate. Relationships with all these guys that went on this trip. I sit in church. Church is over. I leave. I shake their hands when I come in, shake their hands when I come out. I think it's forever changed my life, my son's life going forward with just this community and this church going forward and what we can do here and not just there. So thank you for every one of y'all that, you know, your time throughout this whole trip. Loco Larry, that guy right there, he's awesome. Johnny, this picture right here, I'll get into the pictures and then I'll talk. You know, when you first get there and you see the conditions that all these people are having to live under, you just want to just stop everything and go to work. Somebody like me, doing what I do in my profession, fix it, get it done, and then we move on and do the relationship. But as Clint talked and Pastor Dan, it's not all about that. It's all about these relationships you build with these kids, and they'll forever impact your life. This lady right here, this one got my goat. Johnny had to actually pray. I was asked to pray. You talking about faith? This woman right here has been battling with cancer for 2 years. No funding, really, for treatment. And she told us, the next time we come, she'll be standing at that door waiting on us. If that don't hit you like a ton of bricks, and faith, and we think we got faith, we come in here on Sunday, we do our thing, and if you're in a grow group or whatnot, great, I'm not in, I'll be getting in. This is our whole life. Having faith and living in that faith, planting these seeds, will forever change your life. I mean, I'm a Christian. I've been going to church since I was a little old thing, crapping in diapers. But this right here is what it's all about. It's not about, you know, your job. Yeah, you got to go to work. You got to make money. But when you get back from that, the people's lives that you touch and just be giving in yourself, what you can do for them, or just sometimes just sitting there listening, it'll impact you forever. This is the little girl that we finally, you know, got a hold of that wasn't sponsored. My poor boy who I took on this trip, 17 years old, to try to change him a little bit and how he viewed life before we set him off into the real world. And after the 8th child, we found her. So we'll be, you know, sponsoring her, taking care of her, and we look forward to the trips, you know, in the future to be able to go, Lord willing. So that's all I have to say other than the fact that I love every one of you. Thank you for the impact you have on my life. I hope I can impact your life as much as these folks have and what you have already done for us.
Amen. Bless you, buddy. All right, next is Mr. David McClune. I did put up pictures. He said he didn't have any preference on pictures, but he's got some pictures, so surprise.
Yeah, I'll apologize about that, Clint. Sometimes I get sidetracked, and looking at those pictures, trying to pick one out, yeah, that got me sidetracked every time. I can't talk about that right now. I just want to say I showed up there, you know, and I saw how they were. And at first, your heart goes out, and you feel a little sorry for them. After a few hours, I felt sorry for me. I'm going to cry. If I could see my children that happy, that's all I want. Or my people, I want a bunch of stuff. I realize it's stupid. All I want now is a little bit of what they got. Those aren't the kids you see on those Feed the Children, you know, that are beaten down, not wiping the flies from their face. Those kids are full of joy, full of love. And all they need, what I saw, was something to eat and some men in their life. That was the one thing that stuck out to me that was missing, was men. I feel like half the time I was so overwhelmed that I retreated into my head and wasn't really as much a part of things as I would have liked to have been. Looking back at it, I just would like to be able to go again and be more there with the children. Because, like I say, they don't have the men in their life that maybe they should have, be it from deadbeat dads to the dads that just work, you know, 14 hours a day, 7 days a week. It'll make you change your priorities, people. It'll make you think about what you need and what you want, and that's really all I got to say.
Amen.
Amen.
It does focus you. I told the guys when we left to go on the trip, I said, you will have that moment where everything changes from, wow, I'm in Honduras, to, wow, these kids don't have anything, but they're grateful, they're happy. And I think most of all, they're not just hungry for food, they're hungry for us. Let's see who's next. Brett, you can go ahead and make your way up. I'll tell you this while Brett's coming. I thought this was to be true, but we confirmed it this time. At the care point that we go to, which is the little area, it's called Sotoguada, there's only two teams, us, actually there'll be three, two of ours and one of a church from some people we're partnering with, Pastor Matthew Smith in Indiana. And they only get three visits a year right now. And the guys will tell you who'd been back, they remember you. They asked about Mason. They asked about Chris. They asked about Jimmy. They asked about Kent. They asked about, if you've been, they asked about you. And they asked about Cam. We showed them pictures. They remember. And they're hungry for affection. And again, I think that is what probably impacted a lot of these guys' lives. Here's Mr. Brett Martin.
Good morning. It was a great experience. Cameron went last year and talked to me about it, and you know, you think you know what to expect, and then you get there and all that changes.
See what you started, David?
I didn't think this was going to happen. You know, I put up a couple of pictures of other people, kind of candid shots. There's one of Johnny and one of Larry. And I took those when they weren't looking, because if you go back to the other one, that's Santos, Larry's kid, and he must have sat like that for 30 minutes. And you'd have thought Larry had some Velcro stuck to him, because where Larry was, Santos was there. And, you know, we talk about the wall, and just like the other guy said, you know, you're ready to get it done. And then the wall's not near as important after the kids come there. You know, a fourth, fifth grade kid walking you all the way up the hill. And then you see the joy that people have. Is there another one, Bob? This lady here, this is one of the houses we went to. That lady there, that smile she's got right there, she had the entire time. David and Larry and I went there, little old tiny living room, a kitchen, had one table and a wood-burning stove and an empty cupboard. And her husband just got a job, drove a used motorcycle 1 hour each way to go make $9 a day. And you see them all smiling. You know, they weren't putting on for us, that's just the way they are. So this trip, not only it makes you reflect what we have, what we don't have, it makes you feel ashamed a lot of times. the kid on the left was Cameron last year, and that's Maynard that Cameron met, and that's his sponsor. And here I get to meet him a year later. And the kid on the right, looking over my left shoulder, is Danielle, and that's who I'm going to sponsor. Great kid. The difference with this is you can see them grow. Just like Clint said, they ask about it. They love looking at your cell phones. So you sit down with your cell phones, and they want to look at your pictures, look at your videos. And I was swiping through, and Johanna and I think Cam's sponsor, Anderson, they're sitting over my shoulder, and that I swiped that picture on the left, and Johanna went, "Maynard, come." And then she said, "Look, Anderson," and they went to talking in Spanish. So they do remember. So, and then it makes you reflect on your own faith and Christianity and what your purpose is. Something I don't do near enough, but if you have the opportunity, you need to go. If you don't have a burning desire to go, you need to sponsor one of your church members and help them go, because it is an awesome experience, one that's hard to describe. You don't realize it until you go. It's almost like having your first child. You know, you might have a niece or a nephew, and you think you know how it's going to feel to have your own kid until you have your own kid. So it's a feeling that You can't explain. You have to experience it. So it was great. The relationships that the guys talked about, you know, somebody said, well, why are you going over there? You know, what about here? Well, I think that was God's direction, because how did Clint find Soda Guada from Sylvania? He bumped into somebody at the airport. Am I right?
Yep, come back to the middle.
He bumped into somebody at an airport who told him what they did with Children's Cup, who invited him to go there, and that got the wheels in motion. But then I think it inspires us to do more here back at home. So anyway, it was a great time. It was an awesome experience, and I'm ready to go back.
Good job. Thank you. I'll explain. You keep hearing the guys talk about sponsor, and that's the kid that I sponsor. Keep that in your mind, because I'll explain that in just a minute. All right, last but certainly maybe least, it is funny. We pick on Larry. Larry, you can come on up. We pick on Larry, and we laugh because everywhere we go, this was Larry's second trip, and even when he didn't go in June, everywhere they went, they asked one question and one question only, and that was, where is Loco Larry? Over and over and over, and it became the joke that if anybody had something to say, it was Loco Larry, because that's all the kids knew in English, and it was fun to watch again him reconnect and watch the impact that these kids had for a second time on his life.
I know why they move off to their left or right, the light.
Stand
Buenos dias, Iglesia Corintios. This is what we did. Good morning, Believers Church. Mi nombre es Loco Larry. My name is Crazy Larry. That's what we got over there. We'd have it in Spanish, then we get it in English. Wow, pictures. I didn't put nothing together like these guys. I was just going to speak from the heart, because I'd heard from somebody who's wise, not like me, but if you don't speak from the heart, it doesn't reach the heart, and that's what I wanted to do. Kind of lost my train, but the first thing that impacted us when we got there, of course, we went to church, and Pastor Daniel preached, and they were celebrating Thanksgiving in Honduras, and he preached, and he said, one thing he said that stuck with me was, if you're not thankful, you live in the land of discontent. And that just went, just popped me in the face. Because I hadn't been thankful. I know I went last year, and it kind of wore off, and I wasn't really looking forward to going this time, but that all changed once we got on the plane and started to enjoy each other's company and started to give out nicknames, you know, like Big Daddy. They liked Brett. We gave him a nickname right off, and I'd say Big Daddy, and they'd all point to Brett. And we built the wall, but we had so much fun doing it and building the relationships like all the others have shared with the kids. Man, they just want to be involved. They just want to be involved with you, whatever you're doing. If you're building a wall, if you're just sitting around, Santos. I did have Velcro on me, because every time, Santos. And I couldn't understand a word he said. And he couldn't understand me. And is that your guy, Brett? That guy, he could not smile. That kid has a $1 million smile, Danielle. I said, let's take a picture and be angry, you know, like. So we did a picture. I didn't put it up there, but he couldn't do it. He still had a half a grin. I said, you can't do it. But they just want to be a part of whatever you're doing. If you're just sitting there eating, or if you're just sitting there doing Bible study, not Bible study, but church, whether you're building a wall, of course, they want to have fun. Look, he waves. That puts me right back there, man. And that El Jefe, oh, man, he's a Mexican Crazy Larry. Or not Mexican, Honduran, I'm sorry. Ooh. But anyhow, That was the thing that impacted me the most was, of course, just like last time, was the camaraderie you build with guys you don't know and the connection you have with the kids. It was for real for me this time because I just started sponsoring Santos in June, so that was good. One other thing I wanted to share. These guys talk about if you haven't made plans to go or sponsoring somebody. Another thing I read or heard was, let's see, how does it go? If you you ever prayed, God help us do for ourselves what we can't do for ourselves, think about salvation. You can't save yourself. It takes Christ to do that. And in my case, I couldn't sober up by myself. It took God in my life to do that. All right. You can help somebody go to Honduras, or you can help them in Honduras. You can help them do something that they can't do for themselves. And you get so much more from them than that we were able to give them. That's unbelievable. So if you haven't made plans or if you want to help somebody to go, I would encourage you to do that. Thank you.
Amen. I wanted to show you a few quick things before we get out of here. You guys did good on time. Y'all actually left me some time. This is Estefani. We've been sponsoring her for 2.5 years now. And I tell you, some of our kids are at another care point because Soto Guada, where we took all these guys, wasn't in existence. So when that opportunity came up to have the new care point, we jumped on it. That we just were calling it ours. We told the guys at Children's Cup that whether you like it or not, we're calling it ours. And so Johnny and I on Saturday sent the other guys back up to Soto Guada, and we went to our original care point, which is heavily, heavily sponsored. They've got they get lots of visits. It's more a urban area. And we went to see our sponsor kids and deliver the bags that some of you who sponsor kids there. And when we walked into the room, they had just built, the man that runs it had just built basically a new church, about half the size of our current room here. And I don't know, Johnny, there was, 100 and something kids in this room. And we sat there and hugged kids for 20 minutes, just one after another, after another, after another. And they all had to have a hug. It wasn't just the ones that we knew, every single one of them. And after we got through that, I realized I hadn't seen our sponsor child. Last time I was there, she ran up from behind me and jumped on my back and threw an arm around me. Really kind of startled me because I didn't recognize her, but she knew me solely from her pictures. Melanie had taken her pictures of our family in the previous trip. I had never gotten to meet her face-to-face. This was my second time, and when we walked in the room, I didn't see her. When we were hugging people, apparently she came in afterwards, and she turns around and looks at you, and her eyes just light up. And she is 10 years old. She's the same age. Mabel will be 10 in January. But she's a tiny little thing. And her little face just radiates. And she runs over and hugs you, and just like Larry was talking about with his sponsored child, they just latch onto you. As soon as I met her, they called me to the front, and they want everywhere we would go, they want you to say something and say hello. To which I would hurry through what little Spanish I do know, and then I would switch to English and then say something to everybody. And then, so I actually had to tell her, hey, just stay here. Like she wanted to drag with me everywhere I went. And I just can't overemphasize the relationship parts of this. When you hear us talk about sponsors, the way this works is I told our guys years ago, I started asking God for just a partner that was well-known, was reputable, that we could trust, and that we could, because I wouldn't want to offer anything that, you know, is not going to last or we can't keep going. So I met the people who run an organization called Children's Cup, and they run feeding centers throughout Central America and Africa. And we just kind of honed in on Honduras. And the way it works is you can even go online right now. You can go online, look up Honduras, and we'll put a link on our page here shortly, and go down to Sotoguara, and you can see the kids that are available. And the way it works is you sponsor a child for $39 a month. It's just an auto draft. They set up an auto draft. And the way these care points work is that everybody who comes, all the kids that come get fed. They don't turn anybody away. Once the kids eat, then the parents, the mostly mothers who help, then they let them eat. And beyond that, when they become sponsored, then they begin to receive all their educational stuff, which is not only pens and pencils, and they get uniforms because they have to wear uniforms. It pays for their school. In Honduras, a lot of times at the schools, they have to pay something to go to the school, even though it's a public school. It gets some medical care. It gets some the educational stuff. They at the care point, every time they go, 5 days a week, they get Bible lessons and Bible activities. And so it's a whole life kind of approach. And right now, this is just incredible to even think. Once we add in the kids who were sponsored from this trip, which I think is three or four more, we're going to be over 20-something kids that this church, as a body, and then we actually as a church sponsor two kids that we're taking care of right now. And to me, that's just spectacular. And I do believe what they were talking about, Pastor Daniel, who's the pastor of the church that oversees Honduras, is right. The seeds that we're planting there, we're going to reap here. The reason I love this men's trip is because it takes, I'm going to probably step on some toes here, but I'm just going to say it anyway. In Honduras, a lot of the daddies are gone. Like they were saying, guys were saying, they're either non-existent or they're off working. But as I begin to think about it in the U.S., especially when it comes to church, a lot of the daddies, they're present at home, they're present in the marriage, they're present in the lives, but where are they absent? In the church. You go to a lot of events, and the church event that Bucky was saying, that little church, was full of nothing but women. And it just, as I was sitting there, began to think, and God just began to kind of drop in my heart, I think this is why you're talking about these trips. Because what it did is it begins to build us up as fathers. See, we think we're going to be fatherly and love these kids and pour our lives into these kids, but what God's doing is beginning to build up relationships with the kids. But I watch guys who live less than a mile from each other who really didn't know each other, right? And they became friends, and they made connections, and they begin more connected to the church. So I think God's going to begin to use these trips. Sponsoring these kids is not just about sponsoring these kids, and it is life-changing for them, but it's life-changing for us. What's my next picture there, guys? I begin to see this. I took this picture. I don't fancy myself a photographer, but when I took it and began to look at it, that's Johnny, and his face is kind of darkened out, and then the sun just kind of hit those two kids, and it just, as I was flipping through my pictures, I just really realized that, God, we're supposed to be here doing for these kids. You tell people you're going on a missions trip and everybody pats you on the back and everybody gets excited and they'll support you and give. But I think we lose track of the sight that on either knee in Johnny's lap are two eternal souls. The wall will be there for a while. The wall will be there forever. But those are two souls that are for eternity. And Johnny is doing something that we can't put a value on. The picture you saw of Larry sitting with the kid, you can't put a monetary value on that. That's an eternal value. And one of the other reasons we chose Children's Cup, you can go to my next one, is because they're doing internationally what we're doing locally. Children's Cup is essentially, for us, an international version of our Project 216. Feeding kids, taking care of kids, loving kids. It's not even sometimes just about preaching to them. It's just about throwing our arm around them and letting them know that somebody loves them. This girl right here, I missed a day of the care point. I don't know if you saw it in some of the pictures, but when we got there, when they say, hey, we've got enough tools to work, they mean we have enough tools to work. Y'all need to bring your own stuff. So we get there, and they didn't have enough for everybody to get involved. And so I loaded up and went with one of the drivers back into town and went into, this is no joke, I went into the Honduran Pasameti. It's an Ace True Value. And went in and bought several wheelbarrows and rakes and shovels and picks. And then it's funny, you go in there and you go in for like the, you know, like you do when you're shopping, you go in for one thing, and I come out with a van load of materials and drills and bits, and which, by the way, just so you know, you bought. Thank you. Literally, your generosity allowed us to go do something extra. It wasn't in our budget. It wasn't in our trip expenses, but we went and purchased them because we wanted to leave them with stuff they could use, things they could that we can come back and use on our next trip. But I missed the day because I had to go into the town. So this was on the second day, and this is in Sotoguara. This is our care point. I don't know the girl's name. I don't really know that I saw her in previous trips. She was late as the kids eat. When the kids eat, anybody who's been on the trip, it's just like you. It's kind of like, I mean, just bring this home. It's kind of like when we start worship, and there's only four of y'all here. Okay? It's dark, and we start, and there's only four people here. And then magically, 10 minutes later, after the first song's over, we open our eyes, and suddenly y'all all appear, you know, a little after 10 o'clock. Y'all getting the hint? These kids do that. Whatever time it is they eat, they're not there. They're not there. They're not there. And then as soon as they pick up the first plate, hundreds of kids just show up out of nowhere. Other than the little guys, the little boys who are staying with us, they all just show up. Well, this girl was late, so all the other kids had eaten, and she was sitting on these benches they put out, and that's actually looking back. You can kind of see how steep the care point is. That's the house right below, so it's way down there. She was sitting there, so I went up, and I pulled out the camera, and she just looks up, and she just grinned from ear to ear. So she's eating by herself. She's sitting there by herself. It just was a picture of gratefulness, a picture of what all the guys have talked about, joy. And I thought, you know what? What if we hadn't done what we needed to do, what God asked of us? What if I had just told the guy at Children's Cup, nah, we're not going to come down? What if I'd never gone and Melanie and I went on the initial scouting visit to check it out? What if we had never gone? And God put something in my heart that just, it kind of shook me. And that was simply this, that if you didn't do what I asked you to do and follow me as I guided you through this process, and here I'm leaning up to, I'm thinking God's going to tell me, oh, that girl, she would have never been loved. She would have never, you know, had food. She would have never had anything, and so on and so on. And if I'm honest with you, God said, you know what? Because I would have taken care of her anyway. I would have taken care of her if you didn't do what I asked you to do. And it just kind of shook me. And it made me grateful for a group of guys and a group of people who have been in previous trips, and a group of you who are going to go on the future trips, who are just willing to step outside your box, step outside what's normal. After the first, I don't remember what, no, it was the second night. Let me tell you, don't get me wrong, these guys loved on kids, but they worked hard. Hondurans don't use cement mixers. You are the cement mixer. They don't use trucks. You are the truck. So they worked hard, and we had finished the second day, and we just finished eating, and we had done a debrief. And I began to tell the guys, and I want to tell you what I told them that night. when you enter in this, or even maybe you guys seeing this pictures for the first time, seeing her picture, you can go to the next one. That's looking down on the care point. That's what Jeremy wanted to tear down and rebuild like right then. When you see them, our natural reaction is to have pity on them. Oh, look, they're poor. Oh, look, they're hungry. Oh, look, they've got old clothes. Strangely enough, a lot of you who send clothes, let me encourage you, almost all the kids we saw were wearing the clothes that you sent them the day, and they made sure that you knew that. But we begin to look at these kids with pity. And then somewhere in the mix, I think David alluded to it, somewhere in the mix, that pity goes from, wait a minute, they're happy. And then we kind of look, well, it's kind of shameful. I'm not happy and I've got everything I need. But then I think the progression moves. And the Bible talks very clearly about Jesus. And Jesus encounters a man who needs healing. And the Bible says that Jesus was moved with, anybody know the word? Compassion. So I want to encourage you guys, as you see these stories, as you talk to people, if you come next week to the interest meeting that's right after church and you want to go, you're going to go through this. I want to encourage you now. Go ahead and let your... They're not asking for pity. The Bible doesn't talk about pity. The Bible talks about compassion. The reason we do Project 216, the reason we do the Generosity Tree, the reason we do the egg drop, the reason we have benevolence here at the church and we help people as much as we can, it's not because, and I've had to shift in my mind, I'm not doing pity, but the Bible says Jesus himself was moved with compassion. And I want to challenge you this morning that building behind us, and this is by no means, please hear my heart, and then I'll close, I'm over. And this is not a thus saith the Lord. I'm not standing up here trying to pretend to prophesy or say, I'm just telling you that every man, really even person, student, woman, everybody we've taken to Honduras all has the same reaction. When they see that building, they want to build a new one. And I don't know how. Right now, they don't even own the land. They're going to have to buy the land. But I've told them, I said, it's in my heart somehow that we're going to build a new building there for them. A wider, bigger building. They can't even fit. The room they feed in is this less than the size of the foyer. And when it rains, they've got 100 and something kids and crammed in this little bitty room. And they feed them 5 days a week. I don't know how we're going to do it. I'm not pretending to have a plan. I'm just asking God, if you can use us to do it, use us and the other church in Indiana, and then we're going to figure out a way so that we can go build a place there to spend more time, to have better relationships, so that they can change us. Amen? Amen. Josh, why don't you come on up? Why don't you bow your head? But I want to challenge you again. Think about going. We realize some can't. It is a physical trip. If anything, just the walking. Hondurans will tell you when they go anywhere, they go uphill. Even if they have to go downhill, they have to go uphill. So it is some physical demands of the trip. Just as you're there with your head bowed and your eyes closed, I just want to ask you the question. That's what Pastor Daniel asked us. Are you grateful? Are you grateful for what you have? We just came out of Thanksgiving. We're heading into Christmas. And once you begin to answer those questions, I want you to ask yourself another question. And I didn't tell him I was going to share this with you, but I think it was one of the most profound statements of our trip. We were talking in our debrief, and Brett Martin said, you know, I realized today, if I put half as much effort into God as I put into my job, I'd be one heck of a Christian. And we all kind of looked up at each other and like, he's right. But you can't start the process unless you know Jesus. So real quick, before we dismiss, for you guys online, heads bowed, eyes closed, we never close the service without asking. I just want to ask you that question. Have you made Jesus your Lord? The Bible says when you do, now it's your turn to go share. It's an easy process for you just to meet Jesus, to receive him. And if that's you this morning, say, well, Clint, I'm coming back. I need to get my life right. I was in church. I was serving God, but now I'm not. Then I'm going to ask you to wave at me. Or if you fit the first category saying, I need to get my life right for the first time. Every head bowed, every eye closed, just wave at me real quick. I'm not going to call you up front. I'm not going to embarrass you. There's a couple hands. All right, then why don't we pray this together with you guys online, on everybody in the room, to say this with me. Say, Lord Jesus, today I receive you. I receive your son. I receive your grace. I receive your mercy. And I receive your forgiveness. Forgive me, Father, for my sin. And today I make you my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name.